Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight is Ellen Kiter, chief curator at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art, and we're talking about a great new exhibition, Out of the Box, The Graphic Novel Comes of Age. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was just an amazing, wonderful show because I spent so much of my life teaching comics and teaching the history of comics, and you have done a really bang-up job with this show. But before we talk about it, let's talk about the Eric Carle, because I don't think enough people know about it.
Oh, well, I would love more people to know about it. We're very proud of the museum. Eric Carle and his late wife, Bobby, founded the museum in 2002 here in Amherst, Massachusetts. And it is one of the first museums in the country dedicated to picture book art. So we have a very robust exhibition program.
Oh, my God. There's always like two or three exhibitions on simultaneously.
Exactly. Typically, we do 7 to 9 exhibitions here in Amherst, one of which is always dedicated to Eric and his work. And then we also have a traveling exhibition program. So we have shows that travel around the nation and internationally. And that's been a program that has really grown for us in the past 5 or 6 years. So it's wonderful that we have that mode of outreach, because Amherst isn't always the easiest place for everybody to make a pilgrimage to.
But it's a beautiful museum, too. And there's plenty of parking. And I know that's like a minor detail, but it's just like a fun museum to visit. And it's a comfortable museum to visit, too. It's a great place to bring your children, but it's a great place to come by yourself if you're an adult also.
Yeah, well, we like to think of ourselves as a family museum, but really welcoming people of all ages. 30% of our visitors are adults without children, so there are people who are just here for that wonderful art experience, or perhaps they are book lovers. But we also have our art studio, which is always open when the museum is open on a drop-in basis, so not only can you look at art, you can actually create art as well.
Now let's talk about the show Out of the Box. This is a fascinating show because it is about the graphic novel or the graphic memoir, and there's a great quote in the gallery guide that goes with this, the small book that's there, that's actually really beautiful. The graphic novel is arguably the single most exciting new development in illustrated literature for children, and it's amazing to hear a statement like that. But then if you go and look at this exhibition, you'll see it's an amazing thing. Define graphic novel for people who aren't sure about what it means. I know I'm setting you up because it's a very difficult thing to do. Go ahead.
Thanks for that.
I know. I'm sorry. I'll help you out as you go along.
It is a little hard to define. Typically, it refers to a book that combines both the text and images, sort of a marriage of those two formats. So it kind of bridges the space between a traditional picture book and an all-text narrative or novel. But the term graphic novel is somewhat of a misnomer because, as you mentioned, many of the stories, especially those featured here at the Carle, are actually memoirs. So they're not necessarily fictionalized, but the term graphic novel came about, I think it was Will Eisner who kind of gave that cachet to it, and it stuck. But it is very much an evolving art form. It's one that, as the exhibition shows, really has a long history that goes back, several hundred years. But it really came to the forefront around the turn of the century and has sort of exploded since then, and is constantly changing and bringing new surprises. So,
Now I want to mention that
it's hard to pigeonhole exactly.
It is. I know, and everybody struggles over that. So I wasn't being fair to you, and I apologize. But
well,
you did really well. So.
Thank you.
But there's an interesting thing about the books that are previewed at the Eric Carle is almost all of them have to do with coming-of-age stories, whether they're real or whether they're imagined. They are about teenagers or young teenagers and about people growing up. That's what these books are about.
Yes, they are. Our curator of the exhibition, Leonard S. Marcus,
and who I've interviewed several times before.
Oh, yes. Well, he's wonderful. This is the fourth exhibition he has done for us. And he really hit the nail on the head with this one, I think, that theme of coming of age. And graphic novels are for people of all different ages, but they really seem to have a stronghold in that that teenage period of people's lives. I think that's when a lot of the tween and teenagers really gravitate toward these this form. And so the coming of age theme, I thought, was really brilliant on Leonard's part. And there's certainly no shortage of books on that topic. And it also has a longer history in children's literature in general. But he picked 10 artists and some real seminal publications to highlight. And don't envy him. That there's so much out there now on graphic novels, and to narrow it down to just 10 was, I'm sure, a very challenging for Leonard. But I think the books he picked, each one of them is deserves its place on the wall.
And I want to mention that in typical Eric Carle fashion, it's original artwork that you're exhibiting, and not just original artwork, but things like storyboards, original sketches. And I'm fascinated by sketches and watching artists, how they work. That's what, when I look at sketches, I'm looking at the artist in action. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at about how they're thinking about their work. And it's amazing to see that kind of work for each of the artists that are involved in this show. It's a very, very special show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's wonderful when we can share process materials with our guests, really sort of peeking behind the curtain, if you will, on how these images come to life. And because some of the artists are working digitally, it's really right. Nice to see that digital image actually starts with the pencil on paper, done by hand. So there's there's still that hand quality that underlies the final image. It was fun when we had 6 of the 10 artists came to our opening, and we had a sort of a discussion on stage with them. And one of them, Matt Phelan, mentioned how he loves storyboarding and doing the thumbnail sketches. And it's his favorite part of the whole process because he sort of feels like that's the most creative time for him. And once that he's got the storyline and the images set, it's sort of rote after that. And then Raina Tegelmeyer said, oh my gosh, she rolled her eyes. That's the part I like the least. And so it's interesting that each one comes to it with, different perspectives on that process.
Let's talk about Matt's work, Matt Phelan, which has buffed in my summer with Buster. Just the other thing that's going to interest people is that the quality and the type of work represented in these books varies tremendously. Mm-hmm. And Matt works in like watercolors.
It's remarkable. His watercolors are so beautiful, really lyrical. They capture that sort of historic feeling of a summer night. They're sort of infused with this glowing light, which is
they look misty
the time period.
Yeah.
But to undertake a graphic novel and in watercolor is an unbelievable feat, because graphic novel, the creation of a graphic novel is so labor intensive. It's not a 32-page picture book, and watercolor can be incredibly unforgiving.
Also not reproduce well unless you find a really great printer.
Right, right. But Matt talked about sort of the letting go when you use watercolor, uh-huh. And letting it sort of do its thing and accepting the mistakes, or if you will, that happened with it. And he felt it was really important to do Bluffton in watercolor. But yeah, it was. He joked to me. He said, "Yeah, it took me 3 years to create the art, and you can read it in less than an hour." So, which I thought was such a funny comment. But
the story is really interesting. The story is not It's a fanciful story based on an actual event.
Right, in the early life of silent film star Buster Keaton.
He was it Michigan?
Yes.
That was his favorite place in the world. And he used to hang out there with other people from carnivals, and it's a great story about this young person getting to know him as a person. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give away too much because people should actually pick up the book. And then combine that sort of great story with this sort of lyrical watercolors, which are just very misty and sort of like you're looking back through time, mm-hmm. Is a perfect combination. And what an artistic achievement for Matt.
Oh, right. It's a beautiful book, and it's a beautiful story, too.
Now, Vera Broskal?
Yes.
Be prepared. Now, this is, when you look at this, this is sort of classic graphic art for a graphic novel. But what a great story that is. It's a weird story. It's a really interesting story because it's about Russians camping out.
Right. This book spoke to me on so many levels. Vera's humor is contagious. She really was able to tap back into her memory and history to capture exactly the emotion she was going through at that time period. And the summer camp that she attended was in Connecticut, and I attended a YMCA sleepaway camp in Connecticut as well.
Did you have a good time?
I actually liked it, but the spiders in the bathroom and the public showers and all those other issues she had to deal with, I mean, it just brought that all back to me. So I related to it, as I said, on a very personal level. But and that book is very much about, you know, identity.
It is.
And
cultural identity in this case, about being Russian.
Right. And her heritage and kind of coming to terms with being an American, but also being a Russian American. She said she did a lot of research, and she actually went back to visit the camp while she was working on the book and talked to her mother and her brother, who was also there, to try to make sure, you know, she was being as accurate as she could. There's a real warmth in that book, even though it's funny, but it's poignant too.
And I love the artwork in it. It looks like it should be a full-length animation. You know what I'm talking about? It really looks like it really should be given the animation treatment.
Yeah, I could see that as a movie. Yeah,
she's a fully realized visual character in this book, and really goes through all those things that if you've ever been away at camp and not had a great time,
right?
And then at the same time, you're sort of wrestling with your cultural identity on top of everything. It's like, oh my God.
And we're very fortunate at the Carl. We have three of the drawings she did before she even started on the book. There are three drawings that she used to pitch to the editor to, you know, try to get this book made. They're not in the book necessarily, but there's just this sort of nice precursor to launching the book on view.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Ellen Kider, Chief Curator of the Eric Carl Museum of Picture Book Art. And we're talking about a great exhibition. And by the way, there's two other exhibitions there right now, too, that are fine. Out of the Box, the graphic novel comes of age. And there's a great catalog that goes with it. That's just fine. Talking about cultural identity, I think the book by Jean Nguyen Yang, it's interesting. Visually, it seems like it's very innocent, but it is about the racism of the worst kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful book.
It's very powerful, and again, harkens back to Gene's own childhood and his own experiences growing up in California as an American, an Asian American, and some of the prejudice and bias that he experienced as a teenager. And it's ingenious the way he weaves together three stories that all sort of coalesce at the end. He was nominated. I think it's American Born Chinese is the name of the book. I think it was the very first graphic novel nominated for a National Book Award. It's you know, quite an important book in the landscape of children and young adult literature. I don't know if you saw, but we put a short written statement by Gene in the gallery on the bench next to his work, talking about the stereotypes that he included in the book, because we felt we were, you know, for people who are not familiar or have not read that book, seeing the stereotypes that he's depicting could be quite disturbing or offensive to people, and we wanted to give his work some context and to allow our visitors to hear more of his thoughts behind it. And, you know, he speaks so well about it. You know, he says, you know, something to the effect like, you know, does this offend you? Well, good, then I'm doing my job.
But this brings up an important point about what...
It's not meant to be funny.
No, it's not.
It's meant to come off the page and slap you in the face.
But that's what graphic novels can do, as opposed to just written books. Mm-hmm. When you combine the written with the visual, when it works and it works well, the synergy between those two things can really create a powerful message.
Right. Yeah, it's a phenomenal book. I'm just so proud that it's in this exhibition.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah. Well, we have to talk about Hey Kiddo. Although I've talked about it before on this show, and Jarrett Krzyzewska, who I've known, you know, coming clean to the audience, I've known for quite a long time. That's a memoir. This is a true story. It's essentially him telling a very difficult and complex story that had to do with him growing up and actually discovering who he was.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
It is. It's incredibly poignant. And I knew a little bit about Jarrett's history, not much, but I went to hear him speak at one of the events during his book tour. And he's so earnest open about his difficult childhood. It's so well done. Everything about that book, I think, just the text, the images, the story itself, you know, it's just a perfect package. And I think it was, I'm sure you can speak to this better than me, but, you know, a very difficult journey for Jarrett to go on to really look at his past in depth, and then to share it with the world,
and to share it unedited. I don't want to give away too much. He actually had to check with his mother before she passed on about how she felt about being represented in this book, and she was totally on board with that. It's a powerful story, and it's interesting for me as his teacher at that time when he was young, knowing he was going through some of this stuff. I didn't know all the details. And that you're never sure how the person's going to turn out. You're never sure. Although with Jarrett, you sort of knew. It's an amazing story. The great thing is it's a classic. It's got a beginning, middle, and an end. So it's almost like it reads like a novel, but it's a true story.
Yeah, I literally read it in one sitting on a Sunday afternoon. I couldn't stop. It was so gripping to me. And I knew that it was going to end okay for Jarrett.
Because you know he's alive.
Right. But I just didn't know all of these things. And it's wonderful. But, you know, what I love about it, and you're in there and Jack Gantos, but, you know, how certain individuals in his life made such a huge impact and really got him on the right course, and how art something that saved him. You know, it was an outlet for him, and you know, taking the classes with you at the Worcester Art Museum, you know, who knows what would have maybe happened had he not had those incredible opportunities. And you know, it's tough.
Well, you know, you talk about
you as a teacher as well.
Yeah, and it's amazing. By the way, it is tremendously surreal for me as his teacher to open up the book and then see me in there. I wasn't sure. I didn't know at all that that was coming. He sort of kept that as a surprise.
Well, your portrait is even included
in the show.
One of the pictures,
and that just sort of was surreal squared to walk into the Eric Carle and then see see Jarrett's drawing of me. But, you know, we were talking about the importance of art. I mean, many schools are having to cut back art classes and art education. And this really points to the importance of what art can do to for young people, especially young adults. And that's one of the big takeaway messages from his book is the real healing power and what art can do for people. Now, I want to talk about David Small because I just read that book last night, Stitches.
Oh, wow.
That book scared the bejesus out of me.
Did you read it before going to sleep?
I know. No, I read it and then went to sleep. And I'll tell you, that book haunts me.
It really does.
Like, you know, Jarrett's story is very human-centered, even with the characters who are behaving badly. Mm-hmm. David Small's book is grim.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out okay in the end. But talk about a representation of an incredibly – it doesn't get any grimmer than this.
No, it's dysfunctionality at its best. It's really – you just – after reading it, you kind of think, how did he turn out to be the amazing artist that he is? You know, there's some incredible resilience there on his part.
Again, it was part of it was the importance of artwork in his life, but also the importance of therapy. Psychotherapy really sort of got him to turn around. I don't want to spoil the story for people, so I'm not going to talk about the details. But what comes out of the story is about an incredibly grim relationship with parents and grandparents.
Yes, yeah, it's heartbreaking. It really is.
But the artwork really reflects it.
Yes. Well, he's working in monochrome, so it's really just all blacks and grays. He, too, like Matt Phelan, is working only in watercolor, so he's hand-painting each and every scene. But he has such a beautiful touch, and, you know, there's something – you feel his character is so vulnerable as a child.
Oh, wow.
And you really – you know, he somehow captures that in such a beautiful way. And it is – you know, even though it is a hard read, it is a book that will stay with you forever.
Oh, it definitely will. But one of the things you take away also from Jarrett and David's books is that, you know, everybody likes to think that there's perfect families. And for many, many people, families aren't perfect. And growing up, it can be an incredibly tough situation. So to be able to read something that reflects some of that, those tough situations that you're going through in a book like these is really, really important.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think same with Gene's American Born Chinese, you know, oh, there's somebody out there. And Jarrett speaks to this too. For young people dealing with parents who have a drug addiction, you know, oh, there's somebody who understands this.
That's
right. I'm not alone. That's invaluable.
Let's talk about we're going to run out of time. We're not going to get to all the artists, but Raina Telgemeier.
Yes,
I have a huge collection of her stuff.
She's great. She's really great. I was so happy that Leonard picked Smile. That book is just, it's a classic. And
It is.
It really put her on the map, too. But that's also based in her a true childhood experience of getting her front teeth knocked out. And one thing that I learned when Raina came to the opening as well, and she revealed a discussion with the publisher about the cover image, which is the smiley emoji with the braces on,
right.
and how she really disliked it. when she first saw it, and you know, she, and actually on view in the gallery, we have it's maybe 7 or 8 little thumbnail sketches she did of alternate covers.
Right, she's trying to work out what a better cover would be. Yeah,
right. And then the publisher comes back with this yellow smiley face, and anyway, fast forward a few years, it's such an iconic cover now. It's immediately recognizable, and of course, with the rise of emojis and all that, it was sort of prescient in that fact. But I love these sort of stories that you learn from talking with the artist personally. So she has another story that is coming, another graphic novel called Guts that's coming out later this year. And I noticed it also has a sort of the cartoon face on the cover as well.
Now, I want to mention, and we're going to run out of time, but there's a little sort of entrance exhibition, too, before you get to the different artists' work.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure people spend time there, because that really is about the history of this kind of media.
Leonard did such a wonderful job trying to condense.
And he did a great job. There's some outstanding examples.
Several hundred years worth of background information. But he really gives visual form to how graphic novels came to be here in America, and some of the works that came before, going back to Hokusai and early manga,
and later American things like Lynn Ward's God's Man, which is absolutely fantastic.
Right, and what I didn't know about that I found fascinating was Wertheim's book. Production of The Innocent, which was in the mid-50s. He was an American psychiatrist and basically wrote this book saying how dangerous comics are and, you know, they're contributing to juvenile delinquency in America. And
that's where from which the Comics Code was born.
Exactly. Yeah. A sort of self-censoring guidelines that really drove the whole movement underground and then...
Right.
Came out with, you know, a whole different form, but that was a part of American history I was not familiar with, and I found it fascinating.
We're completely out of time, but I cannot recommend this exhibition enough. It is a great, it's fun, it's interesting, it's fascinating, and you're going to want to get all the books too. My guest tonight has been Ellen Kiter, chief curator at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art, and we've been talking about Out of the Box, the graphic novel comes of age. Ellen, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.